Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Man Cave Confidential Podcast. On today's show, we're going to finally get FJ Shark's top TV shows to watch. It's only been three episodes in the making. We know you're getting excited. If you haven't heard the earlier parts, go back to the last two shows. We have a mailbag question from somebody who wants to know how to make sure they're the hit at a Halloween party this year. We'll let you know. That and the proverbial much, much more. So go get yourself a nice icy cold bottle of Coke only from Mexico. If it's not from Mexico, it's not real Coke anymore. And get ready because the Man Cave Confidential show starts now.
Cry when you had what you wanted. Why don't you laugh when you got it made?
I am Darren O'Neill. You are FJ Shark. This is the Man Cave Confidential Podcast. And why did we choose that song for the intro? Because it's Uncle Ted Nugent, and the title is Bridge Over Troubled Daughters.
Oh, hey,
little,
now
a little bit of a pun, but I figured it kind of works for the show, especially anybody that happens to be married to or dating to anybody in the audience. They may be troubled.
This is true.
Just saying, it may be true, it may be not true. Today we're gonna have a lot of fun on the show. We're gonna finally find out what you watch on TV. Three episodes in the making. It was one of these things. This is, folks, when you're doing a podcast and you have at least you put a time constraint on yourself, because we could go, literally, you've probably figured it out, for like 12 hours. But when you put a, you know, constraint on yourself, you have to a little over an hour. We've been trying to get our top 10 TV shows, and it's just been going episode by episode by episode. There's too much to talk about. There's too many good shows out there. But today, we're going to finally find out what the shark has been watching all of these years. But before we do that, I just want to go off on a small tangent to anybody that says WordPress just works. I call bullshit. I normally work in Drupal. I know this is geeking out for a lot of you, but a lot of guys that listen to the show are geeks. I normally work in Drupal. It's a content management system, very powerful. The White House uses it. Sony Music uses it. It's huge for this site because we went with WordPress because WordPress has it's easier to set up. It's not as powerful, but it's supposed to just work. And it has a plugin for doing the podcast, which is easy. I love the podcasting part of it. We get our show ready. We put it into an MP3. We upload it. And all I have to do is tell WordPress where the file is, put in our description, and bam, it's done. iTunes picks it up. Everything works. That part of it works deliciously. But the reason I really went with WordPress was because of this plugin called Next Gen Gallery, which is the thing that provides the photo galleries for our babes of the day. Mm-hmm. And you may have noticed we just changed from having a thumbnail, you know, like eight thumbnails on each of the page in the homepage that you'd have to scroll through to see the rest of the pictures, to just one big picture that you can now scroll through one by one. Well, the reason was, The Page Nation, the thing that was allowing you to go from the first eight pictures to the next eight pictures, was somehow interfering with the links at the bottom of the page to take you to older posts. You could see the link. When you hovered over the link, you saw that it was there. But if you clicked on it, it did nothing. If you right-clicked and said open in a new tab, it worked. But if you just clicked on it, it didn't work. I turned off Next Gen Gallery, and boom, it starts working again. So this bullshit that WordPress just works and you're never going to run into any problems, load of crap. And the support for these things, load of crap. There is none. There is none. There's people have been complaining of this type of a problem for quite a long time, and there's no fix.
You mean it's better to be with Dell?
No. Dell is the fucking devil incarnate, man. You do not want to buy a computer from Dell. They will never sponsor the show. Well, especially now they won't. But Dell sucks. Dell, this is how bad Dell is. I mean, one, I've known a lot of people that have actually had problems with Dell machines and their support sucks. They don't include a restore disk when they send the thing out and then they want to charge you $50 to give you one. So it's like, you're buying something with Windows 7 or Windows 8 on it. Do you think you own that copy? You think you do, but Dell doesn't think you do. Like, thanks, Dell. Thanks for that. But the thing that really pissed me off was, a few years ago for Christmas, my wife got this little, it was an Arcos machine, which was okay, but it wasn't exactly what we wanted for watching like movies and stuff like that. You could watch, you know, on the plane, take it with you. So it was like a little 6-7 inch screen, and it was bought for Christmas. It was bought from Dell. That's where her mother had purchased it from for a Christmas present. We realized, she got it on Christmas Eve and realized, this isn't what I want. Called up Dell immediately, and they're like, no, you're like one or two. It was like 1 or 2 days past the 30 days of when her mom had purchased it. This is Christmas Eve, and they're like, nope, won't return it. From that point on, it's like, fuck you, Dell. We'll never buy a Dell product if my life depended on it.
You're going to buy it, you know, if it's a gift, then you wanted to get it for the sale or whatever, right, or to have it so that, you know, they don't run out of it and out of stock by the time Christmas week comes. And then, what if you're on a plane? What if you're not celebrating Christmas with that person till a week even after Christmas, right, when, you know, you're just going to visit them? Great. Yeah. You know, that adds another week to it.
And it was brand new in a box. I mean, it was, by the time we got it, we realized, it wasn't even like we opened it and realized. It was kind of like we did a little more research, and then it's like, okay, we got that. Okay, let's call them up and try to, get that returned. You know, brand new in a box. Nope, can't take it back. So screw you, Dell. Anybody buys a computer from Dell, you're getting what you deserve. They are the devil. Do not deal with Dell. Go with anybody in the world but Dell. Just saying. And WordPress, if you think it's just going to work out of the box because of the little plugin, it gets good. And this thing gets like the best reviews of any plugin almost at any WordPress. You know, it's a next gen gallery. Oh, it's great. Bullshit. It breaks your functioning of your website. And I think that's kind of a problem, unless I only want people to see the first 10 things on my website. I'd like them to go back further if they're interested. Thank you very much, WordPress / Next Gen Gallery.
Yeah.
So that was just my little rant on that, because that's what we were dealing with yesterday when the shark was on the site going, yeah, I'm trying to get to the next page and I'm clicking and it's just not working. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. The link is there.
Yeah, it turned a different shade of gray, but
hey, nothing. 50 shades of gray. That's a completely different conversation for a completely different show. Let's get to the mailbag question.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get to that and then get your TV shows in today.
Yeah,
hopefully. We've been waiting. We haven't intentionally been stringing everybody along, but we've been stringing them along to find out what the shark likes to listen to or watch in his spare time. Listen to is a completely different list, and that'll be coming up in a podcast not too far in the future.
Right. We've been changing people's names here just to, keep the protect the innocent. And the
We have to change the names of the mailbag letters. Otherwise, accidents may happen. Wives may shoot guys. You got to be you got to be protected.
Always use protection.
Right. Always. That's very good advice, Shark. Thank you very much. Always use protection.
That's a dating tip of the day. Dear Man Cave Confidential, last year I missed out on a Halloween party because I was invited at the last minute and didn't have a creative costume to come with. I didn't want that to happen again this year, so I'm thinking about it already. Do you guys have any costume ideas that would help me meet women? Signed, Looking to Get Laid on Halloween.
Right, that's a great name. Looking to Get Laid on Halloween. It depends if you're in good shape or not. Maybe it doesn't really matter if you're in good shape or not when I think about it. Go as Baby New Year. Big diaper and a sash. Everybody can go costumes. Find a big diaper and a sash.
You know, unless you're, physically fit for it. The Thor, the Superman, the whatever might require some muscle.
No, I think if you get a Superman costume, and you're like me, a little bit overweight, what you just do is you play it up. You get the one size too small, you spill like mustard and chips, and you like glue those to the front of it and hold a TV remote, and you walk around and this is what's going to happen to Superman in like 20 years.
I'm the future Superman.
Right, this is Superman after he's given up. He's just like, I just give me some White Castles, man. I need some White Castle and a couple chocolate shakes. So you can do that. I mean, make it funny. I mean, if you own it, I mean, this may be, what's your opinion on this, Shark? But I believe if you're not in the greatest shape, but you're willing to make fun of that a little bit and play along with it, some women might actually find that hot, that you're so comfortable with yourself,
right,
that you're out there making a little fun that, hey, you know what? I have a few extra pounds, but I'm willing to go out here as, you know, out of shape Superman.
When Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the news a few years ago, I know people that tried to go as him, you know, the overweight thing, you know, and then they had the accent and everything, and it was funny. So it was a great, you know, opening bit to get into the conversation or anything. So, yeah, that'll work. I mean, we're
chicks dig humor.
Yeah, I mean, if it fits your personality, I mean, you could have anything from, you know, we made a list of like something that might be in the news. You got something based on, we got personality, and then I've got like my standard top five. So which one do you want to start with?
Let's go with your standard top. What is the gold standard for the Shark Halloween? But with this question, before this question could be answered, when is the last time you suited up for Halloween?
I think it was last year when I took my kids. I think we were zombie, skeleton pimps, because we had a pimp hat. And we had skeleton masks. And
my skeleton son and I were pimp zombies with your kids? Your kids are like, Daddy's cool.
Well, the one year I went as some kind of death or the executioner or something, where you had the hood and then the blackened, the sickle, but looked like the blackened part by your face. It didn't look like your head was there.
So it looked like an empty kind of, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like an empty thing. And I was on.
You could scare children with that.
Yeah, but when we rang the doorbell, I was like in the front. I was like kneeling down, so I look like I'm like 8 years old. And then there,
well, you act like you're 8 years old quite a lot. So.
It's like, can I have candy? And they couldn't see my face or anything. So like, oh, isn't that little boy cute? Then I would like stand up, you know. Like,
thank you very much.
Joke's on you. But I mean, that was
one less Kit Kat in your bag, lady.
Yeah. Or even like when the kids' Halloween party was at school, I'd come. I had the zombie costume. It's like your standard zombie costume you buy at the store, with the ripped clothes and the bones hanging out and the
nice
face with the hair. And I remember like putting on the costume, and you know how there's like maybe a window next to the door,
right?
Okay, of a classroom,
right? Yeah.
And I remember walking down the hallway, and I put the mask on, and I looked in the window. I just plastered my face right up against the window, and the whole room started screaming.
And the teacher's like, get out.
Get out. Oh,
who are you?
The parents are here.
Right. Thanks.
It should have been even more funny if I did it if it wasn't Halloween.
Right. See, that's really where you get the looks. You could dress. That's the rule here at the Man Cave. You never have to worry about it being Halloween. You can dress up anytime you want to. Throw a costume. You know what? Throw a costume party in December. It's a lot easier to get the costume you want.
Well, when they were even younger, they were like, you know, like little cartoon characters or something. I'm pulling them in a wagon. I'm the zombie pulling these kids in a wagon. Quite a sight to see as it was, but as they get older, they went to the door themselves. Then they wanted, as I said, me to go to the door and participate. And I think they just wanted me to get extra candy is what the.
Well, they figured that you were going to let them split it between them. Little did they know you were going to take their candy later.
Yeah.
Oh no, where's our candy?
Well, how about it? When, you know, we used to do it where, you know, you come home with the candy and you're in the, you come in the back door. My grandma and I would sort the candy, and anything we didn't want would go right out the front door. Next people come into your house. Here, nice. You go.
Recycling the candy. Recycling at the Shark candy. Household.
We have no use for these, but the popcorn balls that are like hard as a rock. Like, here, you take them, you know.
See, we used to hit the guy's house here a couple of times that there was a guy that worked for RC Cola where I grew up. So he would give away cans of RC, which at that time was like the best thing you could get instead of like a little piece of candy. It was like cans of RC. Yay. But I haven't really done the full costume thing since 2006. Because if you see, in 2005, we went to Disney World.
Oh, and, for Halloween? During Halloween?
In 2006, we did. Well, it was a little earlier and they have their Halloween parties starting in, you know, September. They run them a few weeks, so they have where they open the park late, and you have to be in costume. You just can't dress as like Disney. Then you come and everybody has a good old time. So you hang out in the Magic Kingdom and everybody's dressed up. But we went in 2005 and we didn't do the Halloween party, and the White Sox won the World Series.
Okay.
So being, you know, it's those people like in baseball. I mean, you know how you have the people that believe, like, if there's a no hitter, you can't say there's a no hitter, or if something like really good happened and you were sitting right in this place, well, you have to sit in this place again. Well, in 2006, it's like, well, we have to go back to Disney World because the White Sox, we went last year, and then the White Sox won the World Series. We went last year in September, and the White Sox won. We have to go this year. So in 2006, when we went, I got the, because, you know, I have like a bazillion jerseys anyway. So I had a Bobby Jenks World Series jersey, black, closer for the Chicago White Sox, now nowhere. But that's, you know, he had his years. I mean, that's it. You don't really need more. A lot of people will say, hey, you know what? What did he accomplish? You know, he has a World Series ring. That's more than a lot of people in the sport. But I had the jersey, so I just went and bought the white striped baseball pants and wore gym shoes that looked kind of like cleats and walking around. I mean, it was amazing, obviously, because the White Sox were still kind of the it team. They were still the defending world champions. But, you know, it was walking through Disney that night, got a lot of people like, Bobby Jenks! You know, it's like that was the popular costume. It's like, there's Bobby Jenks. And he was, you know, he was a bigger guy, had a few extra pounds on him. It's like, so that was perfect. You know, you just grow a little facial hair, you have a little extra pound, you got a jersey, boom. That was the, you know, I've got a picture somewhere. Maybe I should post it on the website. Where
isn't that your Facebook picture?
There was one that the Facebook one I think was from when we went to the park and we're standing with the trophy. Oh. But I do have a picture somewhere from Disney with like me, Winnie the Pooh, and Eeyore, and they're dressed up as like zombies or something. So
it was a
good time, man. Go hang out with Pooh and Eeyore. It's a party. Get some free candy, hang out, scare some children.
I would like to see a costume character dressed up as something else. That's good.
Well, see, Kit, my wife has a bunch of these, you know, like the plush, and there are actually plush Tiggers and Poohs with another dress, like on them, a costume, like Pooh is wearing a costume of Tigger, and Tigger is wearing a costume of Pooh.
Oh, that's neat.
It's hilarious. It's whimsy. You see, we're not always assholes here on the show. We can appreciate the little whimsy of a Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore and a Tigger dressed up.
Mix and match.
Yes. But your top five costumes.
What you made me think of was the worst costume. I don't know if they came to your house.
Seen?
When you were smaller, handing out candy, and you get the teenager coming to the door. I lived in Chicago, Midway Airport area, where there wasn't a limit. You know, there was no 9:30. That's it, or 7.
Nobody thought of that until long after we were kids. We could limit the time these little buggers come to my door.
So, like somewhere between 9:30 and 10, when nobody's coming around anymore, you'd get the one kid playing cleanup, trying to get all the candy, and he comes with a pillow case as his, you know, the sack for candy, and he's wearing jogging pants and a t-shirt. T-shirt doesn't say anything. There's no brand. He's not trying to imitate any professional sports figure. And you're like, well, what are you? And he's like, I'm a jogger. I'm like, this guy swept up all the candy.
See, my answer would have been, I'm the guy that's going to toilet paper and shaving cream your house if you don't give me some candy, mister. That's who I am. I'm a juvenile delinquent. Give me your fucking candy.
Thanks for putting 2 seconds of thought into your costume. It took him longer to get the pillowcase off the pillow than it did to...
Aren't you a little old for this, son?
Yeah.
Aren't you a little bald, sir?
Jogger.
Okay, here's your candy.
Great.
I'm the guy. Well, tell you, I'm the guy that's gonna shaving cream your car if you don't give me a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, last minute, if you're not gonna, you know, try and come up with anything, or the five that always seem to work are like a pirate.
You don't even need a costume. You can just go
arr.
Or in this year, to be honest, first winning season in over 20 years, you can go as a Pittsburgh pirate. Yeah. Go Buccos, man. If the White Sox can't win, I hope the Pirates do well.
Yes.
We love you, Pittsburgh.
Dracula.
Oh, I want to suck your blood.
Yeah.
Well, you can use that now. See, that's a great pickup line. You can walk up to any hot girl in a party and go, I want to suck your blood.
Right. I mean, you got like, you know, these are for top five for maybe that would, you know, bring women around that they might find attractive. You know, the pirate outfit.
You know what would bring women around? The guy from the Geico commercial that's made of money. If you go in with real money, just plastered all over your body, you are going to attract women. Lots of them.
Following you everywhere.
Right.
Then there's the Hugh Hefner robe. Huh? You know, that goes in, get yourself a pipe.
To be fair, yeah. Now the Hugh Hefner costume, maybe just the robe, Shark, was okay about 10 years ago. Now, if you're younger, what you may want to do is add a little bit of wrinkles around, you know, kind of age yourself up, spray a little gray hair in. But what you always need to have, and make it not a normal size. I want you to go out and maybe get a 5-gallon bucket, or maybe that, if that's a little too big, I want you to get something the size of, you know, maybe a gallon or so, and make it look like a pill bottle and write Viagra on it, because you need that. And then fill it with like blue jelly beans or something. But I'll tell you, women will come around for that one. Have a big thing of Viagra.
Tell people they need to swallow the pill quick or they'll get a stiff neck.
Right. I'm telling you, though, that's what you, if you're going to play Hugh Hefner now, you have to have the big bottle of Viagra. And it'll work, because just having the bottle is fine. You know, and that's funny. But if you actually have like blue jelly bellies or something in there, women will come around and you'll be like, hey, you know, and then you just like pop a pill while you're looking at it. I'm like, I'll be ready to go in 15 minutes.
I'm looking for the girls next door.
Right. There you go. Hey, that son of a bitch, man. But you know what? There's a whole other conversation in that, to where is that really what everybody gets out of this whole Hugh's life, is that he's still like 80 years old and his whole goal every day is to get some tail.
Well, how about when he was going to, a few years ago, he said, I'm going to retire. And everybody's like, from what?
Right. From banging hot chicks? That's called dying.
Moving right along. The fireman look with at least the suspenders. Now, you could pull this off regardless of what you look like. You don't need to be Mr. Muscle, or even, you know, because all women love the fireman look, that type of thing. So, I mean, that those are all good, you know, looking for someone to rescue type thing.
And you can find the fireman t-shirts. There's a place in Chicago that's, if you're in the Chicago area, there's a place right off of like Pulaski and maybe like 111th or so. It's right by, there's the Irish restaurant there, Quigley's, right by Quigley's. There's a store that sells all like police and fire shirts. So you can actually, if you want to get like the, you know, one official. Of their like official shirts, or you can go there. I mean, they've got funny ones too, like the ones around like the United Center. You know, they have like a Blackhawk logo and stuff on them, and there's some cool stuff. So if you're looking, I have a couple different police shirts. Like I have the Chicago Narcotics Police shirt, which is great. The tagline, it is something like, if you huff and puff, we'll blow your doors down.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, you wear those shirts out, and especially I have found out, because, you know, nobody's really going to ask. They just may assume. But if I'm wearing a Chicago police shirt, I have found that when I'm out at the White Sox game trying to get autographs, you get more. Mm. Because they see the police shirt and they assume, oh, you're maybe a cop.
Right.
And the one day I was going in to the Sox Park, and they were doing, this was, you know, obviously we're in a heightened security world now. So they were actually doing the wands at the front gate, and there's their cops that are, you know, doing the wands. And I didn't even think about it at the time because, you know, I had my jersey over, but I had a Chicago police shirt under it. And we're like walking in and like, you know, put my arms out. He's like wand, and he's like, you know, and you're like, no gun. I'm like, oh, not today. And walked inside, and I'm like, oh, he thinks I was a cop. I get it. Like, I thought it was just, you know, you were kidding around, but no, that's so you never know. Those shirts can come in handy. Just don't actually pretend you're a cop, because they don't take that very kindly.
Right. Well, I had one in the, I played around a miniature golf, and the guy gave me free miniature golf, and I couldn't figure out why. and then they go, so how long you been with the county? I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm not a cop. It's like,
give me my 15 bucks, asshole. That was the worst answer you could have ever given him.
But the other one here for number five is a gangster. And
especially if you're in near the Chicago area too. That's
yes.
But mean an old time gangster. Old-time, you don't mean like one of the new, right? Like, which, Al Capone.
Al Capone type thing. Cause that's always a good, somebody calling the man cave confidential hotline.
Calling the hotline. Yeah.
Tell him to go away. But no, the gangster thing gets us into the whole idea of the other list, which was the 1920s.
Right.
Low. You know, the 1920s and what was in the news. That was right. My other list. If you wanted something popular.
Right. What are the popular costumes for here in 2013? And the 20s are hot again, because what's everybody watching? Well, maybe not the young kids, but almost everybody else that's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and so they're watching Downton Abbey. They're watching Boardwalk Empire. They're watching all of these shows that are happening during that time period. So that is hot once again.
Right. Well, what else is in the Great Gatsby? Anything that would support a movie that people would actually go out and see?
Can you have your answering machine on any louder there, Shark?
Sorry.
Is that an answering machine for the hearing impaired? Is the house vibrating right now? I don't know. It's like 45 feet away, and it's like, everybody, the unloading zone and loading zones are fine. Jeez, that's a loud one. But yeah, that's that time period.
I can turn it off. Let me turn it off while you go out.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We enjoy it. Everybody enjoys a little bit of a one ringy ding.
Shows it's live.
Right. These shows are not edited for anything. That would entail work. And God damn it, we're not about work. We're about entertaining you. But that is, it's popular. I mean, I watched Downton Abbey. It's a great show. And it's, you know, it's a very classic kind of a thing. And people will know what you're doing, especially the women's costumes. I mean, you're going all out to get into one of those. So, you know, women would love though. I mean, if you have a girlfriend and she wants to go to a party, you know, suggest something like that. It's like, hey, you can go get a tux, get her in, because tuxes looked about the same in the 1920s.
Right.
You go get a classic looking tux. She gets into one of those outfits. You come in, you act like royalty for the night, and you're golden.
Well, you had that. You had spring. What was it called? Spring Breakers.
Right, but that's a group costume.
That's a group costume.
You need four slutty hot girls and one guy that's willing to get cornrows in his hair, wear sunglasses, and maybe get like a gold bridge for your teeth, and walk around all night going, spring break, spring break. You've got to see that movie.
And the other one here we had was Duck Dynasty. Now I don't know how well that's going to be for picking up women.
Right,
but at least if you're, it's in the news and it's current.
Right, if you're an unkempt guy and you have some camo overalls, you're Duck Dynasty.
There are a lot of women that like the show. I don't know why, but at least they'll know what it is. You get some camo and the beard, and you're like, I'm on Duck Dynasty. At least it's a conversation starter. That's what you're looking for.
I don't know why men like the show.
I don't know why ducks like the show. They keep getting shot.
Right, but they're the heroes.
You know, I mean, then the other ones that are, you know, popular, but, you know, sometimes you might be shooting yourself in the foot, you know, the game Minecraft,
right?
You know, to go that route to, you know, anything that, you know, start going down
the geeky road
where, you know, it you might pull it off, you might not.
But here's the thing about going down the geeky road. If in your travels on that Halloween party night, you run into a hot geeky chick,
right?
She will dig your costume.
Right.
And you will get some.
You're either all the way in or all the way out. That's it.
That's it. That is absolutely, as in anything in life, you're either in or you're out. If you're going to do a costume, do it. Don't go halfway. Don't puss out. Own it.
Well, now getting to that, this is a great segue right into that. Now the top five that might fit, like, but you got to have the personality to pull it off. Okay. So, you know, to own your costume and all that, like, you know, one might be like, we just saw there was an electrical plug. You got the male end, and then the woman has the female receiver. If you're going as a couple, or just walk around with the plug, say you're looking for the receiver. Right. But again, the personality to pull it off.
And not get slapped. Or if you do get slapped, own it. Enjoy it. Now this would be the perfect time to go as like Mystery or one of these peacocking pickup artists.
The black fingernails.
Right. Get your boa, you know, get your pink feather boa, some tight vinyl pants, paint your fingernails, wear some obscene sunglasses, and just walk around. But here's the thing. Don't actually try to be the smooth pickup artist. Be the bad pickup artist. Just be horrible at it. Just walk up to women and go like, your boobies look nice. But, you know, own it. Get into that personality. Like, I am the worst pickup artist ever.
That's it. Do you live around here often?
Right.
What?
Do you live around here often? Yes, I do. We were once at a a buddy of mine were at one of the ARCA races in Chicago, and we were, they were giving away something. I forgot who it was. There was a company giving away something. So of course they have a hot young girl asking you if you want to sign up. So it's like, okay, we're giving away this, this, this. And we're like, okay, what is it? Oh yeah, we got this, this, this. And she's like, and you don't even have to be present to be here. And I'm like, technically you do. Like, you might not have to be present to win, but she said you don't have to be present to be here. And it was like, yes, I do.
You kind of do.
Yeah, but that, I would love to see, I would love to see somebody do that and be the worst pickup artist ever. I mean, that would be hilarious. Just you know, if you but you have to approach women, so that might be hard for you, but right. You have to be the worst pickup artist ever. And if they see, that's the greatest thing. If women know you're playing a part, you can get away with it. You could just walk up to them and be like, want to fuck?
There was this fight outside. Do you use dental floss or do you brush first? Throw everything at them.
Start mixing some metaphors. And it might work.
And because that would be a bat.
Right. It's like
have it all over the place.
I mean, what would be okay? Like instead of what? And if they ask you who you are, you're not the pickup artist mystery. I'm the pickup artist clueless. I'm clueless. What's your name? I'm clueless.
What's another section in a bookstore? It'd be like, you know, mystery and I'm thriller.
Right. I mean, it would be great because I think you could pull that off. Now, I want to pull that off because that gives you license to walk up to any woman you see for the whole night and just say something outrageous and blame it off on your character.
I'm self-help.
Right. I'm self-help. I'm more like self-pleasure. That's what the guy's going to be by the end of the night. But it's like, that would be great because I think, I mean, everybody knows the, you know, now that he's had the VH1 show and that whole thing has blown up, the mystery method, people know his bit. You know, boa, you know, peacock. You got to wear a crazy hat. You wear the sunglasses at night. Dress
up. Don't act too much. You might be on our show.
Right. How you doing, mystery? We love you, baby. I mean, hey, okay, his stuff works. I don't think I don't think he'd be mad making a little, maybe he would be. You know, we're not mocking you. We're taking a persona and totally just turning it on its ass. I mean, that's why it's, you know, it's like
over 30 crowd. I mean, or even over 25, you're not going to pull it off.
I think you could.
But with the hat. No. I mean, to do the worst one. Yes.
Oh yeah.
But, I mean,
right.
To
right.
really do what he says, right. If you're over 25, it's not funny anymore.
Right. Well, the mystery thing, I mean, it's, no, I don't think we've ever talked about it on the show, but I just think that's something that works in the clubs and nowhere else.
Right.
In the clubs, it will work. Outside of the clubs, I mean, you're not going to walk up to a woman at a baseball
grocery
game.
Store.
Right. Grocery store. You're not going to even get in the door at the grocery store. But, you know, if you come up, you go up to a woman, like, you know, Chicago Blackhawk game at the United Center dressed like that, she's going to punch you in your fucking face before you can say hello.
She's going to think you really are a pimp.
Right. How you doing? I could turn you out in 36 minutes or less. But, yeah, I like that. If anybody can pull off that, we want to see pictures, video, or something. I want to see pictures if anybody goes out as the clueless pickup artist or the, you know, right. Whatever you want to call it. If you come up with a good name, let us know. But I want to see the anti-mystery out there.
Yeah. And the other one here is, but again, have to have the personality to pick it, to pull it off, would be like if you're a referee. Now you got the whistle, you got the yellow flag, a great way in. Throw the yellow flag on the table, yell foul, they laugh, now you're in. You know, blow the whistle. All right, stop, break it up here. What's going on? You know, something, but you have to, again, have the personality to pull that off. Not wait for them to approach you.
Right. You have to be an active participant.
Right.
And you have to be present to be here.
Yeah. And the, you know, the yellow flag, the red flag to call, you know, call the penalty, that's your in. And that only works, you know, the other costumes, I don't know of any other props that you can try and, you know, the Hugh Hefner pipe, we're going to throw that down.
The Viagra.
Yeah, the Viagra, just throw some pills on, throw the jelly beans down. But, I mean, the one I saw out there was like a peanut butter and jelly thing. You're the peanut butter piece of bread and you're looking for the jelly, or maybe you could be the jelly looking for the peanut butter. I don't know. But again,
you got your chocolate and my peanut butter. You got your peanut butter and my chocolate.
I'm from the house of jelly.
So. That's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
That's really not going to work.
That's going to go nowhere fast. But I'm saying something where you got, you know, look if it fits your personality, because once you're there, you got to you got to own it, like you said.
Right. Now, if there's a girl that you're actually after that you know that's going to be at this party and you find out what her costume is, get something that corresponds to her costume. Enough said.
Maybe a morph suit. Be a shadow.
I'd like to see that. What are you? I'm your shadow.
I'm your shadow.
And just follow them around all night or until you get kneed in the balls.
Whichever comes first.
I'm guessing I know which one's coming first. And it's the knee firmly up into your groinal area to where you're laying on the floor in the fetal position, possibly wetting yourself while people are pointing and laughing. Yes. But people will talk about you, so there you go.
If you've got the persona to pull it off, I know Deadliest Catch is a popular show to pull off if you're going to be like, you know, one of the captains.
The dead fish.
You know? Yeah, not the dead fish, but you could bring dead fish or those fake plastic ones.
There's nothing better than the smell of dead fish at a hot party.
Yeah, you know, the Time Bandit, the Northwestern, some kind of hat. You'd be the Deadliest Catch captains. You could be anything to do with... I had another good one. I bet your Mad Men might be popular. The people that are going to look like Mad Men.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's the 1960s then era look. Although that, you know, it's not that much different from today. For women, it is. But the Mad Men guys, you're just dressing up in a suit and slicking your hair back. It's like, well, that's what guys do now.
Right. But at least you could, something simple enough.
If you want to dress in the Mad Men with like short little mini skirts and go-go boots. We want to see, screw the mystery pickup artist guy's pictures. We want to see pictures of that. Women in go-go boots and mini skirts out at Halloween, send pictures to mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com.
Or call us.
Right. Preferably call us beforehand, and we'll get our suits on and bring you to the parties.
But which brings us to the top shows.
The top shows on the Sharks list.
These segues are just moving. It's just in there.
It's only been 3 hours of podcasting before us to get to what does the shark watch on TV, and I'm fearing it's going to be like a 30-second list.
It might. Well, it could be, but it depends on how much we want to talk about each one. That's the thing, because I've got mainly like reality TV here. I look like a reality TV junkie with this list.
Maybe you are.
I think I am. But we have, on top of my top 10, we have three honorable mentions, which didn't make the list, but
we're close.
Right, they were close. The three honorable mentions are American Ninja Warrior.
What is American Ninja Warrior?
These guys go through an obstacle course that like a ninja would do, the way they're like jumping off of stuff and they're doing all the, climbing, jumping, hauling themselves up, narrow staircases of like, they could fall through. They land in the water.
So they're training like a boot camp for ninjas?
It's all, yeah, but I mean, they go through this, and then I guess the top 20, move on or something, and then it's, they're hanging on like the side of a wall that's like, like rock climbing, where it's like you only got like 2 inches worth of space to keep your hands and feet going across.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, but these people that do it, it's usually like the rock climbing type guys who also like are into, they have like a gymnastics background, or they have they love that's rock manly. Climbing. Yeah, but I mean, they did something
men in
where
tights. Don't wear that for Halloween. Right, don't go as a male gymnast.
Something where you
although
could,
if you go as a male gymnast, you could throw a couple extra socks down in your in your leotard, and maybe get a little attention that way. So maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's not just about the people who can run fast. It's not just about the people who are muscular. It's like they're usually the guys that make it through are still thin, but are strong enough to hold their own body weight for a long amount of time. They can lift themselves up through something, or pedal on something with their hands or hang on. Or there's one called the salmon bar, you picture like a fish scales, like fish bones, and you've got the bar and you got to like get the bar out to the next rung and work your way up and keep the bar equal all the way up.
See, now that reminds me of a show that wasn't a reality show where they were doing this, and maybe this should have been on my list, Arrow. Have you seen Arrow?
No.
Arrow is a great show, one of the best new shows of last year. He's a superhero, and he's not really a superhero. He's a guy, he gets stuck on an island, and then he gets in really good shape, and then he comes back and starts killing. He dresses in a hood, like a hoodie, and he has bows and arrows, and he goes out and he fights crime. But Katie Cassidy is in the show. And that's well enough reason.
Need we say more?
Need we say more? That's well enough reason. And Emily Bett Rickards is in the show, another very hot, in this case, a Canadian girl. So there are some beautiful women and a lot of fight sequences and some badassery. So Arrow, add that to my list, or at least to the honorable mention, because they did that. That was the one thing he was doing when he was working out, was he had this whole wall built with, you know, like the little, you know, the holder. So he's holding onto this bar, and he would like jump his hands out and then push the bar up to the next one, right, and go up and go up.
Right.
It's just like, dude, that's badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks, you know, all this stuff looks easier than it probably is.
Oh, I'm sure.
Your average person is like going, oh yeah, I got this down. Yeah, right.
I'm sure we would try it. We'd be on our ass immediately going.
You couldn't even do it going down.
Right. I'm going home. Going up. I'll see you later.
Well, along the same lines, my second honorable mention is Wipeout, where average people go through an obstacle course and get the hell knocked out of them. You know,
like, you just like shows where people get the hell knocked out of them. You're a masochist. I can tell you already. I know what the shark is. He's a son of a bitch.
They never saw it coming. Third honorable mention, Storage Wars.
See, I've watched Storage. I liked it for the first couple of seasons, and now it seems like it's getting fake or something. And there were lawsuits,
yeah,
and people, yeah, saying that it was faked. And it's like, you know, that just ruins it.
Right.
Is Parking Wars on your set? Because Parking Wars, I actually find more humorous than Storage Wars lately.
I like the guy with the skeleton gloves that always like has a problem. He like overbids for everything.
Barry?
Barry,
you're right. And he's always just like, I'm a collector. And he brings like weird people with him, like giants or midgets or twins or
flies
something.
In the helicopter, the toy helicopter with a camera, right, on it to get a better view.
Can't go in there, but I can go in with my helicopter. I tell you what. I like Barry. I like the characters. I do, but it's the it was one of those shows to where I think it was done right to start with, and then once they realized it was popular, they decided to tweak it and make it, you know, more interesting in quotes there, and I don't think it really worked.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
have you ever watched Storage Wars like Dallas? It's like, give me a break. We don't need that.
Everything's like 1/10 the price. It's like instead of $2,000-$3,000, it's only they're bidding on like $200. That's like going from Deadliest Catch where each member made $60,000. And now you're going to do, you know, Lobster Wars where it's like they're happy about getting $50.
It's like ghetto Storage Wars.
it's like what is that? How do you go down that far? I mean, they don't even have those type of lockers on Storage Wars.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, so Pawn Stars came out, and it's like you've got the big ticket items. You're getting historical items from George Washington, or you're getting stuff from the Beatles, and there's high ticket items. You see that in Pawn Stars. And then the other station comes out with like Detroit Pawn, where people are coming in trying to pawn their fucking dentures or, you know, a bull, or like a big
leg.
Pen.
Right. The artificial leg.
That right.
Bad.
You know, it's like, really? This is depressing. I don't want to see that. Oh. Or Cajun Pawn. It's like, screw Cajun Pawn. Any show that's a copy of another show like that, I'm like, screw you. Especially right. When it's on the same channel.
Right.
You know, like, oh, well, we have Pawn Stars in Vegas. I guess Cajun Pawn will work just as good. Screw you.
Did you see the Chicago one?
It's no. Like, oh, with the two women?
No, two guys by the L tracks. It's like they're got a real smaller than like even Pawn Stars where... And they always get into arguments, like they lost some woman's $10,000 ring, and they said, "We'll give you the cash." She's, well, it's a family heirloom, and it's just about the arguing, the controversy and the arguing, which is what it's just regular stuff. Whereas you said Pawn Stars, you at least get a little bit of a education on cool items and stuff,
right? And to be fair, some of the extra stuff on Pawn Stars now, you know, they're scripting and it doesn't seem real, but I still like the when the people bring the stuff in, that's the best part. But there's a small pawn shop, I think it's in like Naperville, that one of these networks did a show. It's like two women that own this pawn shop, but they're trying to do Pawn Stars, and we watched it a couple of times, just went
You know, I don't know the name, but I remember that.
It was kind of like, well, it's local, so maybe it would be interesting, and I just didn't find it interesting, you know. But you can't beat Pawn Stars. So once you've seen that, that's all you need.
It's like, but they're reselling clothing or something.
So, they'll buy everything.
They'll buy everything. So here, number 10, working our way to number 1. Number 10, American Restoration.
I'd like the Rick Dale and Company.
I know we talked about them before, where they even teamed up the shows and the cool stuff of like, some stuff doesn't need to be restored. It's probably more valuable that way.
Right.
other thing, you know.
Well, he is an artist. I mean, if you've never seen American Restoration, I know it, the first two seasons are on Amazon, because that's where I really caught up on a lot of them, was watching those straight through on Amazon. And it's a place in Vegas, and it's a new place in Vegas. Now, we may be going to Vegas in a few weeks, so I want to check this place out if we get out there. The people bring in stuff, and it's amazing. Now, if somebody brings him in like a vending machine, you don't realize the kind of work that goes into this, because they literally take the thing apart until there's nothing left together. If there are any two pieces that could be taken apart, they're going to get taken apart. Every piece is going to get either cleaned or plated or painted or whatever, and then put back together.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, people come in all the time. I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of the show, where somebody will bring in, you know, like a little, like one was like a little Hershey's tabletop candy thing, you know, which is maybe the size of a loaf of bread. And it's like, hey, what are you thinking to restore this? And it's like $1,500. And people look at them like,
right.
But it's like, there is a ton of work. I'm not saying he's not making good bank, but the guy is an artist. When you can recreate the artwork on this stuff,
you're not just cleaning it.
Right.
He's restoring it to the point that, you know, it looks new.
Right. So it probably looks better than when it came off the manufacturing line whenever the thing was built. And I would love one of those custom old Coke machines that dispense the bottles. It's like, but I'm not going to spend like $8,000 for one.
Right. You got to be really into it.
Yeah.
Number nine, Call of the Wild Man with Turtle Man.
Number nine. Number, who is Call of the Wild Man? I've never heard of that.
This guy calls himself Turtle Man. He's kind of like a Billy the Exterminator.
He calls himself Turtle Man.
Turtle Man.
Were all the other good nicknames taken? Does he have a shell? What is Turtle Man?
He goes into like people call him, if say there's, you know, there's a snapping turtle in the pond somewhere down in Louisiana or something, and they got to get him out there. He'll just go with his bare hands, dive in the water and go get this thing. Or he'll be like, you know, pulling other creatures out of the water. It's like, or, you know, say like somebody's, you know, somebody's, I think it was a llama that got loose or something. And the llamas are sometimes very mean and they're spitting or whatever.
Right.
And he just goes with his bare hands and, you know, oh, here, get some rope. We'll put it over there and he'll come on. And the guy didn't even have any like treats or food for the animal. He like puts rocks in a bucket and starts shaking it to, you know, he'll think I got some food here.
Wow. So
it's like, you're going to do this with like nothing, or like, you know, there'll be a skunk, a raccoon, something in, you know, the barn that the person wants out. And he'll just go in there and, you know, he'll walk on the beams of, you know, in the barn and be like, I got to get that possum out of there, you know, and grab him. It's like,
it's amazing to me how many of these guys want to be the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, long after Steve has passed. God rest his soul. His shows were always great, man.
We just passed the anniversary of that. It's like been 7 years.
It's hard to believe.
Seven or eight years. Yeah.
I mean, I remember we used to watch him all the time, man. Not because of the stuff he did was crazy, but one, he was entertaining. Two, he was very informational. And three, I guess it was partly because he was nuts. I mean, the guy was fearless. And there's something, you know, right now, the Shark and I are working on a new program called Quit Stopping Yourself. Well, Steve Irwin is the guy that he never stopped himself from doing anything. You know, there's an alligator laying there. Well, let me grab him. Like, excuse me? You
know, it's like, this is the world's deadliest cobra.
Right.
Known to kill a man within 30 seconds.
Let me fuck with it.
A stick.
Right. That's it. This is the world's deadliest. Wait, got to do the Australian accent. This is the world's deadliest snake. Not really Australian. Grab a shrimp on the barb. I'm going to grab it and roll it around a little bit and really piss her off.
But who does a good bit on him, a comedian, is that one, that Fluffy,
I never heard of Fluffy.
Iglesias.
I got to check out Fluffy.
Gabriel Iglesias, if you go to YouTube, and he does a whole,
well, I've heard, you know, Gabriel Iglesias' name, okay. So we're at least in the ballpark here.
Okay, well, that's his nickname, Fluffy. And then he does the Steve Irwin bit, the, you know, nice, with the poke him with a stick and all that.
But if there was ever anybody who didn't stop himself from doing anything, I mean, this guy would be in the most dangerous situations any man can put himself in, and rather than backing away, he went boldly forward. So God bless Steve Irwin, man.
And speaking of acting boldly,
yes,
Shark Tank.
The Shark Tank.
Act boldly to go present their idea to these, you know.
It's another show that we recently just really discovered. You know, again, this is what happens when your other shows, everything's in reruns and you haven't seen something. We start watching Shark Tank and, you know, I was, you know, just amazed by, you know, one, some of the products are genius.
Right.
And on the other hand, some of the products you go, they just let you on the show so they can make fun of you. I hope you understand that.
You know, yeah.
They only let you on the show to make fun of you. But the biggest thing I've taken from that is, I mean, I was not familiar with anybody on that show except for Mark Cuban. You know, he's the guy. He's, right. I guess, obviously the more flamboyant, you know, him because he owns the, he's always in the news because he owns a, you know, major sports franchise.
Right.
And, you know, he was the only one I had known, but everything I had read about Mark Cuban was, you know, not everything, but there was enough negative stuff to where, right, I was like, wow, this guy kind of sounds like a dick. You know, he's rich. Okay. I get it. He sounds like a dick. You watch the show and you see enough episodes and I'm get to the point to where it's like, he's the nice one.
Right.
You know, he's the one that wants to help people. And, you know, yeah, he knows he's right when he's right. And he's not going to take crap from anybody. But if you have, you know, even the guy, did you see the one where the guy was trying to do these sustainable Christmas trees?
Oh,
which was you bring the live Christmas tree into the people's home and then you come get it after Christmas and you replant it. And every year you take these things out and you bring them back or whatnot. And you knew the thing was never going to make money, but everybody else was out. The guy was starting to cry because he believed in this business so much and he knew it wasn't going to make any, you know,
it was helping the environment. It was helping the environment more than his pocket. Yeah.
Right. And this guy really believed it. And, you know, he came up with $100,000 for the guy. I mean, you have to believe that he knew this was $100,000 he was just giving away.
Right.
So it's like, you know, my whole thought process on Mark Cuban has changed from watching the Shark Tank. One, I know he's a genius of a businessman, but I pretty much knew that before. But two, he went from, you know, my input being like, well, he's kind of a dick to being, well, he's kind of a nice guy.
Right.
You know, but the guy that, you know, Mr. Wonderful, I love him too because he is a dick. And that's funny. It's just like, I'm in this to make money, but I'm honest. I'm telling you, I'm not in it to be your friend. I'm in it because I want to make money.
Or he'll joke with him and say, I'll give you the money to get out of this business because it's not going to work. Just put it down, walk away, do something else.
Right. So it is an interesting show. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur at all, you need to watch Shark Tank. Yes. Maybe we should take our show on the Shark Tank. See if we can get funding to take us national. We can get on cable TV.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder. Yeah, that'd be a interesting idea.
You'd be thrown off the show so fast.
Here's what Mark Cuban be like. All right, I listen to some of your podcasts, and I get it. Right. That's like his standard line, and I get it. These other guys, they don't get it. They don't see the future here. You know, but
it's true. We are the future. ManCaveConfidential.com.
But there's, I mean, the other ones, I mean, they only get in, you know, it's kind of like you have to have some kind of sales. You have to have, you know, the product that can, it's not just a seasonal thing. It's not just a gimmick. You know, it's something that's sustainable, and they could crank more out where, you know, it's not just you're based on your time of driving some bus or truck or something around selling something that's taking your time. It's got to be something that could sell. If they got an order for a million of them tomorrow, it's got to be ready to go.
Right. Well, what annoys me is are the people that come in, and the biggest mistake you can make on the Shark Tank, correct me if you think this is wrong, but the biggest mistake you can make walking into this show is overvaluing your company.
Right.
Because it happens in almost every show. Somebody comes in asking for X amount of percentage for X amount of
5%.
Money. 5%. Right. And it's like, well, you're valuing your company at $5 million. Why are you doing that? And people just give them the blank stare like,
it's really good.
Right. You know, and to me, here's my question. Just like when I watch the line of Gordon Ramsay shows, like the Restaurant Impossible, that's not him. That's the other guy. Gordon Ramsay, what's the name of his show? The same thing where he comes in and the restaurant's in trouble and he tries to, you know, help them out.
Bar Rescue. Well,
that's another one. There's a bunch of them. But everybody that comes on the show, they're making the same mistakes. And I'm like, didn't you watch the previous shows? Right. Aren't you familiar with the show? If you're coming on Shark Tank, I would have think you would have watched every episode of Shark Tank you could possibly have imagined. Like if you and I were going on Shark Tank next week, you know what we would be doing for the next week? Watching every episode of Shark Tank, looking for buzzwords that attract these guys that would be, you know, keyword, you know, different things on how to. Yeah.
What percentage gets bought at? So you're not saying 5% because they're going to be like, you're nuts. You got to start it in like 20 or 30 to be reasonable.
You do your homework.
Do your homework.
And
step
these
one.
People don't do their homework. It's like you're walking in. Like everybody, for every show, there's always one person overvaluing their company. And it's like you would think by now you would come in and just be like, well, here, I'm looking for this amount of money. And, you know, here's what my business is really worth. Well, why do you think you're worth $5 million? What are your total sales? Well, I've sold five. $5 million? No, $5. But you're valuing it at $5 million. Well, it's a great idea.
And I've been doing this for 4 years.
Right.
Oh.
And I've sold five.
Great.
Right. Yeah. Move on.
Amazing. They just don't think. But along the lines of Shark Tank, we have number seven, Tanked, where these guys do custom-built expensive aquariums for people, for businesses and homes. And they'll go in and they're based out of, I think, Las Vegas as well, and like Pawn Stars. And they, you know, the person will say, I want a Jaws theme. I forget who wanted there's even like, you know, celebrities on that say what they want for a specific look or for their man cave. One guy had a man cave and he wanted
a tank surrounding the whole room. That's what I want.
Like a beer keg, and that's where all the electronics and the mechanical parts of the tank were. So it was like, they just come up with the strangest. One was they had to make it into for a skateboard company. They wanted the ramp, the tank, you know, and the ramp to be one.
Oh,
so you're
nice
going up the ramp with your skateboard, but it's like, well, that would get all, so they had to find something that wouldn't scratch yet would hold the weight of you plowing into it all the time.
Wow.
You know,
well, when you're in a business like that, you are in such a specialized business, you could have profit margins up the yin yang.
Oh, I could only imagine they never quote price, but I could only imagine. It's like, you know,
if you have to ask,
yeah,
you probably can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, that it's amazing the way, you know, some people just for their homes, it's like the size of the tanks and what they want. And it's like, if the next person who might buy that house doesn't like fish very much,
they better.
In trouble.
They better. Well, it's just like the guy the tech podcast we watch, Leo Laporte, who does This Week in Tech. He's just looking at a new house. They're about to close on it, but then they found out it was a grow house. So they're doing a lot of inspections because it's like, well, you know what kind of humidity is in the house? Like the whole house smells like green, unsmoked weed.
God.
And he's like, the guy put in this like state-of-the-art air conditioning system, but only in half of the house. It's like, oh, gee, that's not a giveaway. Why aren't we air conditioning the other half of the house, huh? What are all these lights in there for?
Which brings us to number six, American Dad, the cartoon.
Yes, I like American Dad.
Where he's a CIA agent.
Yes.
So speaking of investigating.
So he is definitely a man's man, but then he has an alien in the house. So you never know what's going to happen. Crazy cartoons.
One of my favorite was where they were on vacation and his wife, they team up to try and kill somebody for the CIA. And the wife wants to get in on it so they could just spend quality time together. And they're
doing
about to
a little wet work.
Yeah. So, something goes terribly wrong. And you don't know this, but Stan already took off. And, you know, the wife's like, Stan, you're at the CIA. What do we do now? And he goes, run. He's already gone.
What's the proper method to do here? How do we react in this situation? He's using my favorite bit of advice for guys in bad relationships, and that is simply run.
And then brings us number five, another cartoon, Family Guy.
See, I like Family Guy. I liked it for years, and then it kind of just wore, like the joke wore off. I still like it. I like the earlier episodes, and I just don't have to watch it every week anymore.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's interesting to see what my son and I were talking, like what, how he, Seth, is it Seth?
I can't remember his last name. Well, you know who you're talking about.
He can't, say he comes up with a joke. What show does he put it on? And we were thinking of that, going, well, if it's this type of humor, you know, because both of them are based on, you know, the guy's family. And so
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth Woodbury MacFarlane.
Oh, no wonder we got rid of the Woodbury. but we could, which show would be more appropriate for the joke? Where could you get the biggest laugh?
Right.
You know, on there. And that was pretty cool. Which brings us to number four, which is Pawn Stars.
Love Pawn Stars.
Already, you know.
I mean, that's really, because I was talking to my parents this earlier today. And, you know, we've been trying to go on a vacation with them and didn't really come up with anything. Like, oh, there's a good deals on Vegas in November. And I'm like, well, I don't really like to gamble, but Vegas, Pawn Stars. I mean, that's really, it's making it a tourist attraction for people that see the show. Between that and Rick's Restoration and Count's Cars.
Right.
It's like, if you can go, hey, I want to go get a t-shirt. I want to go see if I can get my picture with Count, man, you know, or my picture with Corey or Chumley and
visit the guys from Tang tour on, you know, some kind of the aquatic aquariums, whatever. I don't know the name of their business, but it's in Las Vegas. But all that, yeah, that'd be a great thing to do. And then go visit all the experts that are on there.
Right. I want to go to the, where's Rebecca Romney? Screw these guys in the store. I want to meet Rebecca Romney, man.
I've got a book that I think is really valuable.
I'd like you to page through it. Is this like the old hole in the bottom of the popcorn bucket at the movie with your girlfriend? I've got a really big book I'd like you to page through, Rebecca.
We'll put a jerk book in there. Now, signed or not signed?
She'd be signed. Like, I don't signed. Believe- I know she's like, I've seen many books signed by FJ Shark, and let me take a look here. Let me look at the signature. It's very messy, so that's good. That's how he likes to sign it. Now, it's nice big letters, which means he thinks a lot of himself. He's kind of an egomaniac, so this seems right. Yeah, this is definitely an authentic Shark signature.
You know, it would be great if she says she doesn't believe it, and I'm standing outside, and you're like, he just signed this in front of me like 5 minutes ago, for God's sake. I do a podcast with the guy.
Well, so you'd have to walk in. Do you still have this leather jacket, possibly, and the scarf, so you can walk in dressed exactly like... So wait, you want to talk about a costume for Halloween? Get dressed as the Shark. It's half Fonzie. No, wait, it's almost all Fonzie. It's almost all Fonzie.
Even the boots.
Yeah. I'm afraid if you wanted to pull that one off, you'd have to add a little extra hair. You definitely had higher hair going on.
Higher hair. I had the Max Headroom and the guy with the, the
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, they had him too, but they had somebody else who had
the big hair.
The big hair.
The
anyway.
Tall hair.
Yes. But yeah, well, then they probably wouldn't believe it's me.
Right.
Like, oh, thanks. You know, like Charlie Chapman, he entered a Charlie Chapman lookalike contest and came in third.
Well, I read an interview not too long ago. I think it was in Maxim, if I'm not mistaken, with Slash, that he went to a costume party dressed as Slash and nobody knew it was him.
Nice.
He said he went and hung out with the bad Axl Rose.
Dude, we should like totally team up. We could win this thing.
I'm telling you, it's like that is the best. So, I mean, really, if you're Slash, the best thing to go at Halloween is Slash.
Yeah, yeah.
Because nobody buys it.
Yes. Hat not included. Number three, Deadliest Catch. Great show for, you know, I also said After the Catch, but that's combined. Yeah.
Well, those guys, they make a ton of money, but their work is dangerous. I mean, I've seen a few of those shows. It's not something I watch all the time, but when you do see any of those shows, you have such a great respect for what those guys do.
Right.
Well, working 48-hour shifts, yeah. Darkness, bad weather. But surprised more of these guys don't get killed.
Well, yeah, because you're like you said, the 48-hour shifts, and one little mistake and you're literally dead. Something's going to fall on you, or it could be just Mother Nature. The big 50-pound block of ice hits you in the head. Nobody made a mistake, or I guess they forgot to clear the ice, but I mean,
somebody made a mistake.
You know, that's it. Or, you know, like you said, a rogue wave hits the boat and you're gone.
Right.
You know, it's like, or
once you're overboard, you're overboard.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I could think they rescue like one guy, or like on the Time Bandit, they actually were watching another boat where the greenhorn was hanging on the side of one of the pots, and they're like, he's going to fall. And sure enough, you know, next wave that came up, he fell. They swoop around. They were able to get him out of the water faster because they just made like a half a turn versus the boat he was on making a whole full turn circle and come back.
Right.
It's like, if they weren't watching, he'd be gone.
Crazy show, man. Crazy show. And now I understand why seafood costs so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Alaskan crab legs. Forget it.
Yeah.
But number two, American Pickers.
Another good show. Another one you can watch quite a few of them on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Fritz Mike Wolf, who's actually from the area. I didn't know. He's from Joliet.
Joliet.
That's
yeah.
Right, baby. In Illinois, in the house.
And they went through Joliet the one time they're back in the area. And then, you know, as I said, they're right across. I saw their place over the summer where it was just over the Mississippi River. We drove across Illinois and saw that. And from their shop, you could see the river. It's only like a block away.
That's a great gig, though, isn't it? You just drive around the country knocking on people's doors and hoping you don't get shot.
Well, you know, it was interesting when they had T-shirts and mugs and all the other stuff for sale, and, you know, all their like more popular items were there. But I think they must work out of another warehouse that's not publicly known,
right,
so they can actually get some work done. But they said they're only there like once a month because they're always just traveling.
On
Danielle
road.
On the road, and Danielle only comes in like on the evenings when they close it, or they close the entire shop if they need to record.
Right.
But
which again, this shows you how reality TV is rarely reality. I think most people think, you know, you walk into that place, you're going to find Danielle sitting there. Most people think you walk into the gold and silver pawn in Vegas and you're going to find Rick and the kids there. It's like, I don't think right. they're ever there anymore.
Right. Well, yeah, the like the little setup show he has with like the computer and the phone, they could put that anywhere. It's not right. necessarily at that location. They're filming it. But what I asked one of the women there for, I says, do you have one of those flyers that they always hand to people?
Like what they're buying.
I thought they'd be selling that, even if it was, you know, a dollar or whatever it was. And she looked at me like, what? I'm like, you know, like when they go up to a new place, they go, here's some of the items we buy. You know, do you have that list? And she's like, you know, that's a good idea. She starts digging through the employee files of like, you know, okay, this is, you know, the handbook and this is what we're doing. And she's pulling up like, you know, it's a blue binder with, you know, those page inserts, the sheet protectors.
Right.
And she goes, oh, here's one. And he goes, I got to make a few more copies. I got like three left. Yeah. Cause they always need more. And it's like, and it's, I should, maybe on the next show, hold up. But it's like, it's not even like professionally, you know, it was typed well, but it's like, it's been copied so many times that it's like,
a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. It's like, you know, if you save a file on your computer, it will look right every time you print it. But we don't have computers.
It's blurry. It's blurry. It's crooked, but it works. But I'm like, that'd be a great item to sell
yeah.
there to see what was, it's all, and this is exactly what they hand the people. I thought, you know, that would be a good idea to have. I was just expecting something a little more clear.
Right.
Some of the people are up in age and they can't see too well.
Nice. Nice.
But number one, Mad Men.
Mad Men, the number one show on the Sharks list. I thought about putting Mad Men on the list. I did. I just thought it was another one of these shows that I loved for a couple of years and then it kind of lost me. We still watch it, but it's not the, you know, it wasn't really on the top of the list. Although for style, for fashion sense, right. yes. That right. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I love, you know, that time period where, you know, when you worked in an office like that, you went in and had a few belts in the afternoon.
Right. Every time they go in a new room, if they're having a drink or something. And this is totally my grandfather's era of work, you know,
right.
where, you know, and it obviously emails didn't exist and you had those orange or brown envelopes where you had a
inner office memos, right? Yeah,
sign your name, cross off the name ahead of you and put, you know, go to the next person. It's like, give me a break. It took like 3 weeks for a memo to make it through the company.
Back then it was perfectly fine to sexually harass your secretary or yeah. somebody else in the company.
Yeah. But the one
good times.
Who's the owner of the owner of the agency?
Roger Sterling.
Yeah. He said, this business is great because it meets all your needs.
Right.
I'm like, could you imagine, you go, you know, this business meets all my needs of what do you want to do? Well, no wonder, you know, everybody's trying to get into the,
you know, that money, you got broads, you got booze.
Yeah.
Bucks, broads, and booze, the three Bs.
The three Bs. Thank you, Dallas. Yeah, but, but I mean, it was like, there were some others where they're always like, you know, great, you know, face to face, taking the client out, schmoozing them,
right.
you know, tips that they give, be nice to the waiter, you know, so that they think that you're a nice person. You don't put them down. All these little things that I think are lost in today's society because people don't know how to interact that way.
Right.
You know, and there's very few, you know, business meetings like that, you know,
but technology has ruined all of that.
It's ruined all that. But the way they, you know, would go about that, or, you know, that you see that these guys practically lived at the office or in the office. It was big. You didn't have a cubicle.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's no cubicles. Everybody has big offices and, you know, you have views of the city. And it was just, you know, it is a dreamland for guys. Like if there was a place you wanted to work, that would be it. Don Draper is a character, amazingly enough, women seem to like him. You know, even though he's like one of the biggest womenizers in the history of television, women seem to like him. Why is that?
Well, they did the same thing.
He's the jerk. He's the jerk women love.
Well, they did the same thing with J.R. Ewing. What's his name?
J.R.
Yes. When he was on I Dream of Jeannie, he hardly got any Larry Hagman, when he got hardly any fan mail, especially from women. And then all of a sudden he got tons of those. They'd bring it in by the frickin' truckload when he was J.R. Ewing of women that wanted to sleep with him. It's like, what?
They relate to the character. They think he's rich. Well, he was because he was in, you know, he was a you know, an actor making big bucks, but you know, it's the character. People buy into it, which it always scares me when, you know, actors always say people see them on the street and they don't know their real name and they call them by the character name. And that's one thing just to get their attention, like, oh, Arrow, you know, or something like that. But then when they're talking to you, and you hear this all the time, and the people are asking you questions like it's real.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's like, ooh.
Well, who is it? Dr. Sidney from MASH, psychiatrist.
Right.
He would say after the show, you know, when they're in between filming, people from the cast, cameramen, whoever, would come up to him and ask them psychological questions to see, like, you know, do you really think I'm okay? I've been having these thoughts late at night about, you know, and it's like, I'm not really a psychiatrist.
I'm an actor. I just play one on TV. So there.
So, you know, but yeah, but Mad Men and the way, you know, successful to the success look. And another segue, you know, we might be having in the next few podcasts, we might be having a Jim Rohrbach success skills coach. They're at successskills.com. And I asked him one time, he wrote one of the forwards to my jerk book, because he used to have a Why Be Shy program teaching people not to be shy anymore. And then he went the route of teaching success skills for business. And he had he registered the name Success Skills.
Easy for you to say. What a domain. You can't even say it.
Exactly. And there's three S's in a row there. And I'm like, do you need all three S's? Because it looks kind of weird. And he goes, well, yeah, because that would, if not, it would spell Success Kills. I'm like, well, I guess we need all three S's in the domain of success.
It's amazing skills. Leaving one letter out, what it could do to you.
Yeah. Take it the wrong way.
Spelling
too many S's.
Yes.
So that'll be
interesting.
That's the hook for a future podcast.
Right, because that's what our show's about. It's about success. It's about going out, getting what you want, not stopping yourself, doing the things that will make your life better.
And no look for Quit Stopping Yourself, coming soon.
It's coming soon to a some place near you. Probably Udemy.
Udemy. Course.
It's not a book. It's longer than that.
We should tell them, look, you know, start getting familiar with that. Start looking around. Yeah, see
Udemy.com, Udemy.com. It's an online, basically, I'm not going to call it a university, but it's a place where you can go and take online classes on a variety of subjects.
Trainers, teachers, coaches all put their, you know, their podcast, no, not their podcast, their, I guess their lessons. Training there. Yeah,
training lessons.
And even from the corporate world, I saw Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE. He had some courses there. So all kinds of good stuff.
Right. Because believe it or not, we do have day jobs. This isn't it.
Yeah.
I know that's hard to believe. This is just us having fun, so we can actually teach you some skills. You'll be soon finding those at Udemy. Tell a friend. If you have any questions for us, of course, it's mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. You can also hit up the contact form on our website, mancaveconfidential.com. You can get us on Twitter at The Man Cave Guys, and you can sign up for our mailing list on our website. And, let's not forget, subscribe on iTunes. Or there are a variety of Android apps you can go to subscribe to the show so you don't miss one. If you could give us a like on Facebook, we would appreciate it. If you can rate the show on iTunes, we would appreciate it. And, tell a friend. Until next time, I am Darren O'Neill.
I'm FJ Sharp.
Later.
Later.